Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
How are you doing after last week's announcement from Boris Johnson? Are you feeling better about the lockdown? Are you looking forward to getting out and about? Perhaps you've already been out and about. But I hope you're all well. I hope this message finds you well, and I hope that you've been able to reach out if you're struggling with anything and speak with some people. It's good to chat. My name's Julian, and if you've stumbled across this channel, this is Christchurch Blackpool, and we're a small church. And we are just making use of this channel, certainly for the time being, to put out our messages and to put out our worship so that we can all join together at this time where sort of lockdown has meant that we can't meet together as a church. So we're meeting virtually online. If you want more details about us, we have a website, details here, and also we can be found on Facebook and Instagram, and you can private message us if you want. Again, details will also be down in the description below. So we're just finishing off our series on Acts. Which means we're at the tail end. We started this series back in 2019, back in March, and we've been making our way through pretty steadily. We've focused on certain passages and raced through others. And again, at this tail end of Acts, I'm going to end up racing through Acts 27 and 28 in a bit. We've been focusing on Acts, and before that focused on Nehemiah, because they remind us about how the church was built, and we've been focusing on principles therein. So I hope that this is a great opportunity for you to sort of just review what God's been saying to you over the last few months, weeks, and indeed over the year, and just to see what it is you're doing. I think that's one of the things this lockdown has done for me, is it's the opportunity to just review. We'll get on to more of that because I think it comes out in Acts 27 and 28. So I've got a lot to get through, so I'm going to gallop at a fair old pace, but I just wanted to pick out some things that stood out to me as I read through Acts 27 and 28, and just bring them to your attention and trust that God's going to speak. So let me just open by praying. Father, I just pray that you would speak clearly to each one of us, that you would use my words to say what you want to say into people's hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can trust that you will do that. Amen. So I want to start at the beginning of Acts 27, verse 1. And it reads that Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the Imperial Regiment. The next day, we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so they might provide for his needs. What a remarkable thing that is. You see, this centurion was used to being in control of 100 men. He was probably going to stand trial. If Paul disappeared and escaped from his control, then the centurion would have taken his place. So it's not something he would have done lightly. And yet Paul experiences this great favour from the centurion, Julius. Luke even records his name for prosperity in the book of Acts. So it's quite amazing that this centurion chose to be that generous to allow Paul to go and visit his friends. Some of that, I'm sure, goes back to Paul's character. I think Julius would have been around him enough to see that he was a man of integrity, that he was trustworthy, that King Agrippa had even sort of said, if it wasn't for Paul appealing to Caesar, he could have been set free. So that's back in Acts 26, by the way. You have to read back a bit to catch Paul's story. Paul has this dynamic that just means that he's trusted by people very quickly. I'm sure that was a part of how he was able to set churches up so quickly, that he could be trusted, that he had these attributes, that he could easily see the red lights, for want of a better word, you know, all those traffic stops that make your journey not as smooth. And yet he chose to give thanks for the green lights. He chose to see where God allowed him a smooth progress. What does your life look like? Are you the kind of person that people look at and they begin to trust you? It's a huge challenge. You know, both Isaac and Ethan, my boys, would be able to testify that there are times when I make promises that I'm not able to keep. I always try to keep my promises, but sometimes things get in the way. But I get the impression that Paul didn't make these promises, and that he stood by his word. It's a challenge to us in how we carry ourselves around Blackpool. Do people see Jesus in us as we go about our life? You know, Jenny often says about how she pops into Aldi on a Sunday afternoon and the Aldi staff have got to know her. And part of that is just probably her friendly nature, how she says hi to people, how she sort of talks with them. And it's those kind of things that we have an opportunity to do. And it makes us stand out from the world. The next thing I wanted to focus on was that as the boat sailed out from Sidon, Luke records that the winds were against us, that we made slow headway, that the wind did not allow us to hold our course, and it was with difficulty that they went on. Do you ever feel this way? Do you struggle at this time? I tell you, when I was a young boy, I went to a scout camp. And I was a bit of a mummy's boy. I enjoyed being at home. I had a good family life. I enjoyed being with my parents. And we were going to the scout camp, and part of me didn't want to go, and part of me sort of did, meet up with friends and so forth. But on the route there, we hit a dog, and I was convinced that was God saying, you don't want to go. And so that I was making all excuses to my parents about heading back home. And thankfully, my parents understood, but took me on to the camp. And I had a good week spent there. But, you know, these are difficult times. It's difficult to know when God's closing a door or when it's just hard going. Jesus said, John records Jesus saying, that in this world you will have trouble. Perhaps you're finding it difficult to socialise. Perhaps Zoom isn't your thing. Technology doesn't seem to work for you. I want to encourage you just to keep trying. It's difficult at this time being separated, but make every opportunity you can to just catch up with people, find out how they're doing. If you really don't like Zoom, then make sure you're ringing people and letting them know how you feel, but also finding out how they're feeling, how they're doing. The ship was a big ship that they took. So it was sturdy, it was strong. Luke records in Acts 27, verse 12 and 13, he says that since the harbour was unsuitable for winter, the majority decided that we should sail on. And when a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. One of the things that stood out to me is, what are you placing your dependence on? What are you relying on? Are you relying on the material things around you? You know, we're very blessed to have a house with four walls that's heated. Are you relying on your mind, your knowledge? Do you rely on your skills? What about the path that you've walked? Are you relying on knowing how you've dealt with this before? One of the interesting things about this coronavirus lockdown is that nobody's experienced this kind of lockdown, and there are so many different ways of dealing with that. But the storm comes to our lives and it changes our comfort zone. It's not always what we would choose, but the thing is that sometimes it's very much needed. You could have had this lovely job that you're just enjoying, and then because of the state of the economy, you've lost it. And it's very easy to turn around to God and say, why? Why, God? But it's possible that there's something better waiting for you, that you weren't looking for that better, and that it takes this storm to move you out of your comfort zone and into the better that God has for you. So I encourage you that just keep looking to God for what he's got for you, because he won't see you go without. Jesus was talking about how birds of the air were precious to him, how they didn't go without any food, and how much more we are. So just encourage you, you know, look to God for what he's got. What have you learned this time from the lockdown? For me, I've learned to press into God, that I need to slow down, that it would be all too easy for me to return to my previous life where I was commuting and I boxed God into a small space where I would spend time with him. I'd read my Bible. I'd perhaps do some worship, but it was always within that confined region because that was how it fitted into my day. And one of the things I've learned is to actually slow down, that the speed at which life progresses here in the UK is sometimes crazily fast, and there's an opportunity for us to go at a slower pace here. And I'm grateful for that. That's something that I've learned. The challenge, of course, is going to be that I need to continue that once I am released to go back and commute back to work, and not pick up my old habits, but to learn what God has put in my life for this time. So the next thing that stood out to me is Acts 27 verse 17. Then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, because they were afraid that they would run aground on the sandbars of Cyprus. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day began to throw, we took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw overboard the cargo. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Despite them being hardened sailors and having a huge ship, they got scared. And one of the things about storms is that it changes our values, or it can do. You get scared, and what you once held dear, you choose to let go. And for these sailors, their cargo was probably grain that they were taking up to Italy. And unless they delivered the whole grain, they wouldn't have got paid for it. So they were literally throwing the money overboard. I think one of the things that had driven them to press on sailing out and not hold for the winter was the fact that they wanted to reach their end goal. Their end goal was to make that money. And here they were caught in a storm, and they were changing what they once held dear and moving to a point where they were letting it go. They were fearful for what was happening. And you can imagine how big the waves have to be to have scared them. You know, this was a huge ship, and there were 276 people on it, and yet it could very easily have fallen apart from what they're describing by lashing the ropes under it and holding it together. You can very easily understand why at this time people are scared of what SARS-CoV-2 can do and is doing to people. You can understand why people are worried about sort of what's happened previously. Sorry, I'm just trying to change my notes. So they began by throwing cargo overboard. In Proverbs it says, Proverbs 11 verse 4 says, "Wealth is worthless on the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death." They were even scared enough that they threw over the furniture of the boat. They threw the tackle off the boat because they were trying to make it lighter and sort of not hit waves so hard. The final thing I want to focus on, because all of that is oppressive, you know, we're in a time of storm, and it comes and it changes our comfort value, and it comes and potentially changes our values themselves. But Acts doesn't end there with that storm and the boat being battered and broken apart. But Paul stands up and says take heart. So Paul says men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Now, he's not saying that as,
I told you.
No, actually, what he's saying is, listen to me this time. You didn't listen last time. Listen to me this time. Now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. Now, that means probably Paul was afraid, that this ship was being battered. He wasn't confident that where things were going to end up. And the angel comes and just reminds him, don't be afraid. God's got this because God is very much in control in our storms. The sailors were feeling lost. Tells us that the stars had gone in and the sun had gone in. They were just obscured by the clouds. But they'd had days of storms and they wouldn't have known where they were. They don't have GPS and all the satellites that we have these days. So they were very much relying on the sun and the stars to tell them where they were. And with all the clouds and all the buffeting up and down and not being able to really steer the ship, they were feeling lost. Are you feeling lost at this time? Have all the things that you've done normally, have they gone and caused you to lose your way? Just challenge again. Stick to God and what he says. Where's your trust at? Take heart, take courage, and put your trust in God. Acts 28, verse 3. Paul, bless him, they'd got to shore now, and Paul was gathering a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper was driven out by the heat and fastened itself onto his hand. If you're in God's purpose, you can be sure that you're going to reach your destination. People might think that you're scum, that you're not worth it. People might think that you're a god. The real question is, what does God think of you? Who does God say you are? I've really been challenged over the last few weeks about who I am and who God says I am, because that's far more important. And it's a real journey. I think, again, this is another thing that I'm finding with this time of lockdown. It's an opportunity to hear who God says I am. So Paul makes it to Rome in probably the early spring, and Acts ends in a rather odd manner. We don't get to hear about Paul going before Caesar, but Paul is straight away pretty much preaching to the crowds in Rome, and he lives under guard. But people were able to come and see him, and he lives like that for 2 years. And that's kind of where Acts finishes. We know because of other documents in the time that Paul was actually martyred probably by Nero, that Nero had him beheaded. But the whole point is, this story of Acts isn't about Paul. It's about the church. It's about God's kingdom pressing forward. And Acts ends as it does, quite suddenly. But that's because we are the continuation of Acts. We have this opportunity to see God's kingdom furthered, that we're pushing to see what God will do here in Blackpool. We're seeing Jesus made famous. We're here to see God's church grow. And that's a challenge in just how we look at life, how we live life. I just want to encourage you that that is the heart, that we don't need to focus on the storms. They come to change us, yes, but we come out for the better, that our focus should be on where God is leading us and on his kingdom. And that's really the summation of Acts, and again of Nehemiah in some ways. It was a shame that Israel as a nation didn't continue in the purposes of God. But let's push on. Let's go for God and see his rule come in our lives. And let's be bold and show who Jesus is to our neighbours, to those around us. Have a great week. Be blessed. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.